Hi, I'm Andrew Rich, and if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
To the highway, in a brand new day, gotta let it go. So far, fast and free. Stars tonight together. You and me on the stage.
Welcome back to Open Voice Gate, a midweek update. It is December 12th, 2024. I'm Mike Spears. We are members of the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. You can find us on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network feed or on our own dedicated Open the Voice Gate feed on all podcast platforms and applications. You can follow us on social media at Open Voice Gate. If you'd like to donate to the show, click the link in the show notes. It'll take you to our redcircle.com landing site. You click the red box that says sponsor this podcast, and you can set up a one-time or reoccurring donation, no obligation whatsoever, but we would like to thank all of our previous donors. So as we said on Monday, I am back with a bit of a solo extra episode of VoiceGate this week. Case will be back with us next week talking about Final Gate and Ichikawa Final. But we have a couple topics that we're going to get into today. Now, when we decided that I was going to do this last week, and I talked about this kind of on Monday, did not see how the week would go within the Dragon system to kind of change what this kind of update is going to be. And of course, we will talk about the Big Boss Shimizu suspension, what we are hearing. We will talk about the updated Final Gate card, the preview, the Ichikawa Final show on the 17th, and leave with, I'm not going to call it like a full retrospective on Stalker Ichikawa's career, but we're going to talk a little bit about his career. Consider it like a little bit of a preview of the piece that's going to be hitting on Voices of Wrestling sometime tomorrow. Now, let's just get into the Shimizu story. This broke at, and I have the exact timestamp pulled up, 7:11 a.m. Central Daylight, or Central Standard Time. That would be 9 p.m. in Tokyo on December 9th. It was announced that pending an internal investigation, there will be an indefinite suspension of Big Boss Shimizu. There is a suspicion of a serious breach of contract, and the player will be suspended indefinitely until the investigation is completed. And that came out of nowhere. They had a show on the 8th, and this was after Big Boss Shimizu was pulled from shows originally with an excuse that he was sick. His last show was the last part of the Okinawa fan trip. He was not in Sapporo or Tokyo. So, as we are about 3 days into this story, Let's talk about what's out there, what we have heard, and what we are able to report, because it's all kind of the same thing. This seems like a scenario, and I'm going to be using a lot of therapy words here, that we are nowhere close to being able to report anything. There are rumors, but nothing that I could substantiate, or to be frank, that I would put my name next to either on audio or on aggregate. So I think that this is a scenario that is relatively in early days. And that's important to note, because when we compare this to other Discord within the Dragon system, a lot of it is usually pretty slow going, where, at least from my experience doing this for like a decade, you might hear an inkling of something, and then 2 or 3 months later, it might happen. Or you might hear like, oh, there's discussions, or so-and-so is unhappy, and then it's kind of gets backburnered until a year later when they leave the company. So the first thing to note is that this came out of completely nowhere. This is a scenario where, and Case asked me to make sure to bring this point up here, and I was going to myself, but it's really worth getting into. It's worth comparing this to the scenario with Kento Kobune and Takuma Fujiwara, where last year, or 2 years ago now, God, time flies, but 2 years ago, I can speak for myself in this scenario and a little bit for Case, because I know that we were that with this one, it was kind of happened together on this. It was several months between the first news that we heard of, oh yeah, there's some issues with Kento Kobune and Takuma Fujiwara, till the later press release where the first thing the company said publicly was that they left the company because they suspected severe breach of contract terms, and that there was no resolution that the sides could firm so that they would leave the company. That was after a long process. I would think that it was about 4 or 5 months between the first inkling to actually Dragon Gate saying something publicly. This one, I think that they had to say something publicly immediately, because you had matches booked with Big Boss Shimizu. He was a Triangle Gate champion. That title has been vacated. There will be a new Triangle Gate champion team decided at Final Gate. So you couldn't really say or let this be something that was happening in the background or completely in the background and having a press release. You had booking to consider. So that's why I think this came out. Any inklings or feelings I get about this? This has been a very close ranks kind of thing throughout the last few days, and it doesn't surprise me, at least for what I will say about what the rumors are going along and what is happening. I'm of a belief, again, therapy words, that this was not like a promotional jump or any sort of thing where, or wind of a promotional jump there, that this is not going to be something where I think that I look at the late Tokyo Dome City Hall show coming up at the end of the month and be like, oh, I think that we'll see Yuki Shimizu there. I don't think that that's the scenario here. I think, or rather I feel, because I don't know, like the overwhelming thing is like the incident that has caused the suspension or the rumor thereof, haven't been able to get full particulars. But it does not make me think that it is some sort of legal situation, at least from things that are going around. But I, again, really think that this is something that the hand was forced because Shimizu was a champion. The company usually handles this a lot more privately, and then whenever the situation, whatever the conclusion comes to it, not necessarily a positive conclusion, but whatever the conclusion comes to, that's when they like to put out the press release. They just weren't able to, I feel like. And if the rumors that we've heard are substantiated, I don't know if this is necessarily a firing scenario. I My first reaction, worst reaction, so just like this was like, this seemed like a suspension and a shave type thing. Now, that's just based off of unsubstantiated stuff that I would not really put my name for, saying Mike Spears reports X, Y, and Z's. We're just, it's early days is what I'm trying to get to. And it really leaves such a open hole within Natural Vibes. This was a unit that just kicking on all cylinders and in a really strong place with the Triangle Gates and the Twin Gates. You had a company and you had a unit that was in a really, really good position that now there's a lot of question marks. You have that Twin Gate team that I think everyone was of a belief that you probably weren't going to see that Twin Gate team going much further. But now, I mean, there's an argument that you want to keep at least one champion team within Natural Vibes, whereas you would not necessarily would have said that beforehand. Let's take a look at how the card changes up with that Natural Vibes vacation and the full complete card for Final Gate. It is out there now. Of course, we talked about the main title matches that we were aware of at that time. Of course, Yamato defending the Dream Gate against Dragon Daya, who will be defending the Brave Gate. It's a double championship match based off of the King of Gate win / direct victory over Yamato of Dragon Daya. The Twin Gate, KZ and Flamita versus Kota Minoru and Jason Lee. Pro Wrestling Noah's Marufuji and Sugiura going up against Shun Skywalker and Homare, doing a big thing of, oh, we're going to go take down the dinosaurs of Noah with the way that the Z-Brats pairing is. And then the 91st Open, the Triangle Gate Championship team will be decided. The Z-Brats team remains the same, Kai, Ishin, and Yoshiki Kato, but it'll be Paradoxes, BB Hulk, Yokosuka Susumu, and Kagetora there. I think that you're still really looking at a Z-Brats win here. I still think that there's the idea that Natural Vibes had all of the unit titles. Now we are going to see the unit titles going to Z-Brats ending the year. That seems like a formality at this point, to be quite honest. Elsewhere on the card, we already knew about Hyo versus Kurashio, Tokyo, Japan. That's a match really no one... It's a charisma fest, but it's going to be like one of the most annoying matches, I feel like, for international fans. Like, does anyone really like Eichmann Jiro in 2024 outside of Japan? I feel like that this is an act, and we'll talk about Stalker Chikao and the idea of comedy acts or acts going for laughs that just never ever really translated internationally, other than, hey, look at this guy in the jacket time, that translated, but not necessarily like the finer points of the Eichmann character kind of withheld that. And I mean, it's 2025 almost. This guy has been doing this forever now. Just grow up, Eichmann. You need to grow up. Match three on Final Gate now. This would be your touch football match of the evening. One side, you have Ultimo Dragon, Ginky Horiguchi, Izushi Kanda, Tora Owashi versus Mochi Fuji, Problem Dragon, and Punch Tominaga. Oh, yeah, that's there. So UT and Strong Machine J get moved out of that Triangle Gate match to a tag team, Jackie Kamei and Daiki Yanagiuchi, fun undercard tag. And then they're going to kick off the show with Gold Class, Benkei, Rita, and Mochizuki Jr. versus D-Courage and Monte. This has kind of been a little bit of a team that, after Big Hug breaking up, we've seen Monte do some work with both Natural Vibes and D-Courage, but it's Madoka Kakuta and Ryoya Tanaka along with him versus Gold Class. It's a fun show. I think that you have a little bit of the Outsiders thing happening here. I don't see how Sugiura and Marufuji would necessarily draw tickets to the show, let alone Eichmann Jiro. But that's been kind of a facet of their Noah relationship, like filling out these shows on the back end of the year. We'll be talking about that with Case on Tuesday, the regular edition of the show. And also off of the heels of the card change-ups, we have the final card for the December 17th Sakura Ichikawa retirement show. It's still a fantastic gate. So for newer Dragon Gate fans, the way that these December Korakuens used to go, because it used to only be December Korakuens being the two a year, it would always be that you would have a more mainline show at the start of the month, and then at the end of the month, you would have what would be considered like a fan appreciation show. That's where Doi Darts matches always happened on the second half of the show. And that's the tenor that I feel like that this show still has in a lot of ways. You're getting a lot of appearances from people that we don't necessarily see amongst the Dragon System. You're getting some special tags, I feel like, happening. And then you're also getting an opportunity to have, at least in your semi-main event, a balls-out three-way trios match, what everyone really wants in a Dragon Gate match, and that's before the Sakura Ichikawa retirement match against Hiroshi Tanahashi. Notable, bless his heart, it was going to be tough for Ichikawa to get through all of this revival series before this finale. His body is in aggressively bad shape. There was a photo that I saw of him without the makeup and the bodysuit, and bless his heart, like 27 years wrestling his style when you are 5'2" and maybe 100 pounds, not a lot of weight there to take the ass kicking. It kind of piles up, but we'll see who the greatest wrestler ever from Gifu, Japan is, as it will be Sakura Ichikawa versus Hiroshi Tanahashi in the main event of the December 17th Korakuen. Our semi-main event is that three-way six-man tag. This is Dragon Gate, is what they're calling this. It is Natural Vibes, KZUT, Strong Machine J versus D-Courage, Dragon Dai, Madoka Kakuta, and Ryoya Tanaka. Maybe we get to see something or hear something from Yuki Yoshioka. I feel at the end of the year, you might get something. And then what you would consider the Z-Brats top team, Shun Skywalker, Kota Minoru, and Ishin. That is a absolute belter of a three-way tag. In your match six, you have Paradox, BB Hulk, Yamato, Susumu Yokosuka, and Kagatora versus the other veteran side, Misaki Mochizuki, Don Fuji, Toru Owashi, Tsuji Kondo. Match five, Mexico contra Japón. Luis Monte and Flamita, they've listened. They are going to be a tag team. They are teaming up against Jackie Kamei and Rita. This really is a fun fan appreciation style tag match. And then for us old heads, we have a real Toriumon exhibition here. As for a six-man tag, we have Ultimo Dragon teaming with his... not really best friend. I was almost going to say his best friend, but I know that's absolutely not the case. But fellow Toriumon original Super Sisa and Shachi Hoko Boy, well, they will be going up against from the first and second classes of Ultimo Dragon Gen, Genki Horiguchi, Yazushi Kanda, and Kenichiro Arai. The main man is making his appearance in Tokyo. He does not have that Mutoha Howl championship banner anymore, but he will be here in Korakuen Hall making the former Deep Drunker fans happy. And then match three, Ryu Fuda, Mochizuki Jr., Daiki Yanagiuchi, and Akihiro Sahara versus the remainder of Z-Brats. We have Kai, Jason Lee, Yoshiki Kato, and Homare. So we get a real young generation match, with the exception of Kai and Jason, everyone in that match debuting in the last 3 years. Match two, Ho-Ho Loon and Takashi Yoshida. That's right. Roll Up or Shut Up are reuniting against Problem Dragon and Punch Tomonaga. And we are opening with a Class of 2016 special singles match, Benkei versus Yo. feel like Hio can just slot into Gold Class pretty easily after that. But that's the final Tokyo show for Dragon Gate for the year. I know we're going to try to record on the same day of this Korakuen next Tuesday. I know for me, I'm going to get myself as much through this as possible, at the very least getting through the Ichikawa retirement match. But really enjoy this Korakuen. It's a strong-looking card and one that I think has a lot to offer. And we are past kind of the era of doi darts. There was an announcement of Doi's, I don't know if it'll be like his return match, because we don't know his booking in January for Dragon Gate, but Naruki Doi has been announced for a return in All Japan in January, so that meniscus tear has healed up. Still keeping an eye on Dragon Kid. Nothing really updating on that one. I think it's just really getting him rest and letting his neck and cervical vertebra kind of recover from that bump. I mean, it's 2 months. It was about when I was expecting, when everything was like the all clear from Dragon Kid, and at least in and around the company. So I wasn't anticipating to see him on these cards, but when we start seeing January cards, that's when kind of have a little bit of wonder for, especially right before Rey de Parejas. I think that getting Knot Hug back and ready for that, I mean, that's usually second tour in February. That's what I would be hoping for with that. With the retirement of Stalker Ichikawa on the 17th, we see what I feel like is the end of a really significant era in pro wrestling. I'm of the belief that Stalker Ichikawa, now known as Konamawa Ichikawa, government name Kanji Ichikawa, is the greatest comedy wrestler of all time. And it is real testament to his ability and figuring out his deal and being able to perfect his deal and his character. And the overall conceit of Stalker Ichikawa is really what we get to celebrate on Tuesday. I think that comedy wrestling is really malaligned and is treated with like a lot of just contempt when it shouldn't be that way. And I think a lot of that contempt is because we see a lot of very unfunny comedy wrestlers. We are leaving this era of meme wrestling, your Danhausens, your War Horses, and Dan's the Dads. And I think that going through that era really left in stark relief how kind of difficult comedy wrestling is, because you have Ichikawa representing this somewhat of a golden age of Japanese comedy wrestling. You, of course, had your Rush Reagans and the All Japan comedy match. And you had other people that would be a part of pro wrestling before them. But I look at Ichikawa similarly to the way I look at Kunibushino Kamen and Ebison / Kikitaru. Those three through the 90s and then into the 2000s were at the forefront of comedy wrestling. And we are at this time where Kikitaru is just whatever charm that Ebison had in Osaka Pro, and a lot of that is rooted within Japanese culture that doesn't necessarily fully translate internationally. I feel like with the passage of time, Kikitaru has kind of lost that luster, and Kamen does not work that much. Kunibushino Kamen, if you're not in Osaka, I want to see when's the last time Kamen has actually wrestled outside of Osaka, because I feel like it's been quite a while for him. So Osaka, he wrestled in Kanagawa against Kikitaru for a Peninsula Earthquake release, but then you're looking at Osaka. He works for essentially just Osaka Pro now. And then whenever people come to town, like when DDT was in Osaka, they, of course, get Kikataro to go up against Kamen to revitalize that feud and that overwhelming kind of character. But for me, I think that Kamen and Ebison slash Kikataro were so rooted in cultural comedy, especially Ebison being like representative of a traditional, I don't think it's a god, but I think it's like a demon of good luck. And you have that just did not necessarily translate. And then you had later comedy wrestlers that work on different manners. I mean, you do have your Black Mensa Reyes who work today. And you have someone like Haruka Sakura, who I think is just like, I mean, she's been doing comedy in the Joshin for her entire career. But then you have like your Gabai G-chans and stuff like this, and it's all fine. But what made Stalker Ichikawa special? What makes Kanji Ichikawa the greatest comedy wrestler of all time? I think it's the sheer commitment to the weakest wrestler ever bit. And the idea that you have this guy that you look at, he's in this obscure costume. I get into the costume in the article. It might be the first time it's really talked about what really Ultimo was drunk and thinking about back in 1997. But you have this shrimpy guy in this small costume, and you look at him and you're like, oh, this guy is an absolute scrub. And then he wrestles like an absolute scrub, and you get these legends who come in and kick the shit out of an absolute scrub. You get over 90 Masaki Mochizuki singles match based on this concept, the endless up and down with Taru and Don Fuji, and you take Stalker and you take his character. I know I keep on calling him Stalker. His name is Konamawa Ichikawa now. He's Stalker to me. And we saw in the Dragon Gate USA and the better parts of the American indie sojourn of Dragon Gate that you were able to take Stalker Ichikawa, toss him in the ring against Necro Butcher, toss him in the ring against Brody Lee, toss him in the ring against Aki Bono, and guess what? The comedy translates. You wouldn't have had that opportunity with your Caymans or your Ebisons. No disparaging their comedic legacy. But Stalker is the only comedy act that I feel like is global. You could take, and sadly, I've been trying to find 97 Kanji Ichikawa footage and haven't really come up of any of that yet. But I imagine you go to Mexico and you see him in 97 doing the bit, and it gets over incredibly well. You just don't have that in other comedy acts. And it's not just a Japanese thing. I mean, Super Porky, Brazo de Plata, a lot of his humor based off his size and based off of heart attacks and all of that, but he was unable to really perform at that point. And that's like the tail end of a legendary trios career, that it was like, how did a Super Porky stay relevant like through his later years? It was doing this comedy act character that was incredibly over, but it is over in a way that is almost like besmirching the guy, I felt like, with him. And then you can compare that to your Catweasels and your European comedy wrestlers, at least of that era, and that's cribbing on the style. You take your Catweasels and you put them into like 1970s U.S. wrestling, and everyone's just going to be, what is this British dude doing? It's kind of lame. I want to see Bruno Sammartino knock this guy over and put him in a headlock. Like, that just did not necessarily translate. I feel like you take Stalker Ichikawa, and it's a shame that the world did not work out in such a way that we didn't get like wild Stalker Ichikawa versus Walter matches, because those would have been amazing. Can you imagine what Stalker Ichikawa versus Walter would look like? But like, I have full faith that you take Konamao Ichikawa, you transport him to any part of wrestling history across the world. You could either put him in like soft ground wrestling when that was a thing. I think it gets over. And that's an ability that's just not happening anymore. Case brought this up when we were talking earlier this week that it's not necessarily a style of wrestling and a archetype that people are putting out anymore. Like, who after Stalker are the Dragon System comedy acts? Well, you have, you do kind of have some in T2P. You have the opportunity for it, but it's more of a commentary and a cultural joke, like how Ebison and Kamen are with Kunya Oyanagi and him being a war denier, him being like one of the soldiers that just was left in the left in the Pacific Rim during World War II. Like, that's a comedy act that does only works really within its time and age. Fast forward from there, you get in the Dragon Gate days, and even, like, let's touch on Toriumon X. Like, basically, if you want to look at it in a certain guise, everyone but Taiji Ishimori and Naoki Tanizaki kind of were comedy wrestlers in Toriumon X. Like, the whole thing about Los Salseros Japoneses is playing on the humor of how wild is it after the Italian connection to now have a group of Japanese guys acting like that they are salsa musicians. That's just a joke of an act. But there's a reason why everyone who left Toriumon X kind of abandoned those gimmicks pretty soon thereafter. Like, yeah, you might randomly see Takeshi Minamino somewhere, and he might break out some of the Salseros gear, but he's not really doing that anymore. And then you look at the Dragon System. You had Lupin Mazzatani, who was cribbing on Arsene Lupin and, of course, the famous Japanese anime manga Lupin the Third, only lasts for about a year or so. And you keep on going through it, and you look nowadays, there's no comedy wrestlers being produced. Like, who is your comedy wrestler? Even you look in the Joshi side, and you do have Hyper Masao, but Hyper Masao is treated with a certain way that's completely different to, like, Stalker at Chikawa. I would say that Kaori Yoneyama is more doing bits to prolong her career than actually kind of being a comedy wrestler within Stardom. And then I guess really the one analog that really was the example of this, and someone who, not to, because I know how over in certain circles, especially in COVID, Choco Pro was, Lulu Pencil basically cribbed his entire act. Like, let's be honest, Lulu Pencil was doing Stalker Ichikawa. And I think when you have someone who is just basically repeating that character in the time of the original still existing, that's the biggest case for someone's legacy, more so than anything else. Think about all the Hurricane Ramirez's. Like, that in of itself, like, has you completely I don't know what I would say. It's the thing that solidifies you as the greatest comedy wrestler of all time. So as we celebrate the last week of Stalker Ichikawa's career, I really encourage folks to go check out Dragon Gate Network. They have a reel of matches that are up, a lot of his famous versus Legends matches that are up now on the Dragon Gate Network right now. The highlights, the one legend match that I feel like that's up there, and a little bit of a feud that he had that I thought that is worth going out of your way for in my mind. Check out the matches he had with Akira Hokuto. She really beat the shit out of Sakura Ichikawa. But for me, my favorite one of my favorite matches that he had. So up on the network right now, we have the Minoru Suzuki from 2006. That's a good one. Great Sasuke in 2003, playing up of Stalker Ichikawa in a little bit of a mini heel term. The match against Takahiro, the match against Yoshihiro Takayama in 2003 is kind of legendary. And then they have an Aja Kong match up there, just in that category. But I would encourage you to just, whenever there was a big Dragon Gate show in Stalker Ichikawa versus X, it's worth going out of your way to check them out, because more often than not, they're a lot of fun. My personal favorite one of these kind of matches, because of the way that they kind of played it up and they made it work, I think the Marufuji mask match was amazing just because of how literal they play that as. But if you're looking for another really special Sakura Chikawa match, and I write about this in my article, you go to, and this is going to sound really wild, you go to the last show that Dragon Gate ever held in my personal favorite venue in all of Japanese wrestling, Hakata Star Lanes. This is from February 10th, 2019. Truth Gate, the main event of the show, pretty infamous. Pac versus KZ, insane match. But match two on this show, Don Fuji versus Stalker Ichikawa. It's listed as 6 minutes, but it's really going to be one of the really special matches, and it has a lot of trappings around it. Don Fuji did a plunder match with Stalker Ichikawa in 2019 as match two on this show. And there's a lot of other really strong stuff on this this Hakata Starlane show now that I'm looking at it. Kai and UT, my favorite tag team from 2019, versus Big Ben. That's just great. So I just wanted to take some time on this episode. I know we had some serious stuff to talk about, car changes, Shimizu, and all of that, but we didn't really, with how schedules and timing, I would have loved to have done our own little mini series on Sakura Ichikawa, or do like a special episode of Rewind and Rewatch for him. Did not kind of work that way. Check out my article. Probably will be up sometime tomorrow. It'll be up tomorrow or Friday the 13th. That's Pudge's birthday, by the way. But check that out. And we'll be back with you on Tuesday talking about Final Gate, talking about the Ichikawa retirement. Case might have some more to talk about the Shimizu situation there. It's going to be a big episode. But thanks for stopping by for this little Dragon Gate extra. I don't know what we really call this Voice Gate extra update mini episode here, but be sure to follow us on social media. We are at Open Voice Gate. Check us out in the Voices of Wrestling Discord, the Open the Voice Gate channel, as well as the Dragon Gate channel as a part of the Voices of Wrestling Discord. Two of the better places to talk about Dragon Gate across these worldwide webs. Cases that underscore in your case. I'm at Fuchiheya. We'll be back with you Tuesday. Take care, everyone. Bye.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener. Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself, how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.